Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
1, 2, 3.
I really want to recognize Commissioner Parker for his leadership on this project. He's truly the one that really pushed this through. Pull the plan off the shelf and put it into action. It's not always easy to stick your neck out and do something that politically doesn't look like the right thing to do, but for the county and for the future of Santa Rosa County and its residents, this was truly the right thing to do. So Commissioner Parker, to you, thank you for your leadership. Thank you for doing the right thing. Thank you for making this happen.
So yesterday I was at the grand opening ribbon cutting for the Pea Ridge Connector, this roads project that Sam Parker has been overseeing for about 5 years since he really kind of started pushing on this. And if you're not familiar with the area in Pace, Pea Ridge, it's basically you have on the one side, on the west side, you've got East Spencerfield Road. And then on the other side, you've got Glover Lane. And between them is a long way, a long way. And there's no way to get from Highway 90 to Hamilton Bridge Road. And so what you have right now is a rectangle. Well, sorry. What you had before yesterday was a rectangle. Now what you have is, a rectangle where you can go through the middle. It's a grid. We're starting to develop a grid system in that area where, you know, traffic is awful. And, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, how, yes, it's a four-lane road that's going to end in a two-lane road. Hamilton Bridge Road is a two-lane, you know, there's no third lane, there's no turn lane, it's just a two-lane road. And that's not great, but as Sam kind of addressed that yesterday when talking about this, said, look, it didn't cost much more, and there's a really good reason to make it four lanes, even if it only ends up going into a two-lane road.
What you see here is some of those challenges, and I'm so thankful for people like Commissioner Cole and Commissioner Peach that are here today that were in that process, in that trench with me, as you're having to deal with the public criticism while you make the decisions of the biggest question. Is this road going to be two-laned or four-laned? Is this road going to have a sidewalk? Is it going to have a bike path? Is it going to have street lighting? All these things cost money. And most of you folks know the extreme level of criticism we fall under when we do these things. But I will tell you that I am extremely proud. We did not back off of, let's do it right. Let's plan for the future and let's do it right. Especially when it came time to decide on four laning, ultimately you're only talking, it was a roughly 10% cost increase. It seemed like a no brainer, but you wouldn't believe the number of times I've been stopped in public stores in our community where people tell me how stupid it is that we're building a four lane road. And I thought, you know, this is planning for the future, because right now everybody says Woodbine Road should have been bigger.
Oh.
And we're working on that, too. My wife said, don't mention Woodbine Road. We actually are working on Woodbine Road.
But he's right. It's such a great example of where people are at in their heads, which is, on the one hand, I am sure, I have heard it, I know that people have said, what in the world are you building a four-lane road there for? The first ever county four-lane divided highway, by the way. Why are you building that? That makes no sense. Yes, Highway 90 is four lanes and going to be six. But, why are you doing that? And then it ends up in a two-lane road, Hamilton Bridge Road. That's dumb. Why are you overbuilding it? Same person. 18 minutes later. I can't believe you didn't build Woodbine Road Water. Why didn't you build Woodbine Road Water? You stupid people, why didn't you plan for the future and put an extra set of lanes on Woodbine Road? Because they've been saying that for the last 10 years, right? Well, which is it? I mean, which is it? You want big roads or little roads? Little roads come with big traffic problems. Big roads come with, well, they cost a little more. You know, like, and I know we can also talk about things like the speed limit is 35 miles an hour, and that's low for this road. It feels like it should be about 45 or 50. But okay, you know, you cannot have it both ways. And exactly the same people, I kid you not, the same exact people who's scream and yell about how this is a waste of money, even though it's not much extra to build it wider at the first stop, right, are the same people who are like, I can't believe you guys can't do something to fix the traffic congestion problems on Woodbine Road and everywhere else. So, yeah, you know, he's exactly right. You just can't win. You just can't win for everybody. So, anyway, he it really, you know, it was a good event, but the road is fantastic, of course. It's got two sidewalks. It's got two bike lanes. It's got a divided median with grass in the middle and then, you know, really nice wide roads between. I mean, it's a beautiful road, no doubt. I will also say this. I am the first person to skateboard on the Pea Ridge Connector.
No way.
I did more skateboarding the last 2 days than
I've done in the last
6 months. No, it was closed. So
I'm just kidding.
I skated on the sidewalk. I skated on the bike lane. And I skated right down the middle of the sucker.
Did you cut an ollie?
I cut three out of blue construction paper. Yeah. So.
Thank you.
No, it was good. And, you know, there were little things that kind of came out of the conversation, like...
That is Panhandle Paving and Grading. And, again, I told y'all this would be the longest part. It's humbling to know I went to that bid opening. Rebecca will probably tell you, I think she was there with me. When we opened the bids for the companies to do this job, they came in not only as the low bidder, and, of course, they're a well-qualified contractor that we've had do site work. And I believe y'all did our courthouse site work as well, didn't you? And so I'll give you another plug, Panhandle Paving and Grading. But they came back lower than we had estimated, and that almost never happens. And when I talked with the owner of the company, he said, Sam, we want to put our name on that. We want to be proud of that, and we know that that will affect your community for generations to come. And so thank you all for doing that, because ultimately that saved taxpayer dollars. And so thank you.
So they saved money coming in under the estimate, and because they wanted to be a part of the project, wanted to do something good for the community. And that was kind of the theme of some of this stuff. Like, this, in order to get the access to this land, all the land in between these two roads is completely landlocked, right? You know, like the school district has 40 acres in there that until this happened can't be used. Well, now they can build a school on it, right? Maybe more than one, but at least one for sure. I talked to Karen Barber yesterday. She says, oh yeah, we could build a high school there for sure. And we'll see what the need justifies when we get done building the ones that we're building right now, or the, you know, grand opening, the ones that we're kind of in the process of getting open right now. But there was, and I didn't know all this backdrop. It was because it was really good that, you know, I always worry when you give Sam Parker the mic all by himself, because Sam can talk. And but it was really interesting. He explained all the value to it in terms of, you know, fire department getting from one side of that rectangle to the other much faster now, which is going to save people's lives. The, you know, the safety value of the two-lane roundabout, which is a weird feature. It's the only one that I know of in this whole area. And if you've never driven on a multi-lane roundabout, it'll be your first time. Let's just put it that way. It's not like the unstructured roundabouts that you see in Europe, you know, like, you know, hey kids, Parliament, Big Ben. Not like that. But it's different, you know, if you're not familiar with dealing with even a one-lane, let alone a two-lane roundabout. But that's a safety feature because people will have to slow down to go through there. And slower means if there happen to be collisions, they will be at a lower level of acuity. But that's a safety feature to get people to slow down to go through there. I thought it was kind of interesting because he was talking about, I didn't realize so much had to be done in getting the land deal because... with the land being owned like by a bank, and they didn't want to give away the right of way, which is what you have to have in order to build the road. So you had to have somebody buy the land who was then willing to give the right of way to the county.
5 years ago, there was different property owners, and one of them was a bank. And I traveled out of town, and I went and talked with a bank, and on numerous trips before I ever even got to bring it to the board, you've got to know, is this even possible? I told them what I wanted to do, and the bank says, we're not in the speculation business. We're not going to give right away away, and you're going to have to find somebody to buy it and do it. And I made a lot of phone calls to people asking them, hey, would you buy this property? You know, it was about $3 million, right? Just pocket change for a lot of us, right? Would you buy this property? And then, hey, by the way, give us a right away for totally free. And then trust me that we'll build a road in a few years. And you can imagine how most of those phone calls went.
But he called a guy named Mark Cotton that he had actually run against for county commission.
Mark Cotton, are you here? I had a meeting with Mark one day, and I'll tell you the truth, I wasn't feeling real positive on it. And I just happened, we were sitting in his office. And for those of you that don't know, I think it's worth recognizing, Mark and I both ran for the District 1, Commission C at the same time. You know, some people say you ran against it. I think we both ran to serve our community. It speaks volumes to the character of Mark Cotton that when we sat down and I told him, hey, look, can you help me with this? He said, I think I know the folks. And that's where it came into to Mrs. Stewart and Mr. Bosch. And he was the facilitator to put that together. And that's a heck of a sales pitch to ask somebody to spend that kind of money and make a donation. But thank y'all. This would not have been possible without y'all. And I needed to publicly recognize you for that.
I just think all these very cool stories about people doing, you know, good things, the right thing. And in the end, this is a great addition to the road structure of Santa Rosa County. And it creates the opportunity to have infill development in that area, which is, you know, primo real estate for people to be able to be close to services on Highway 90 and also to live in a, you know, suburban kind of environment with the houses. So, yeah, no, this is, to me, this is all good. This is an all good kind of project. 521 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about buying that, oh, one other note, it's 35 miles an hour. I wouldn't speed. Because I got texts in from people yesterday saying that the Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office is, well, they're making sure the speed limit is obeyed. So that would be my one note is, you know, I would obey the speed limit in there. You're not going to want to. It's not quite as bad as driving on Three Mile Bridge where it's 45 and you want to go 70. It's 35 and you want to go 50. Okay, so just, you know, word to the wise if you want to avoid getting that ticket. Hey, if you're getting that next new vehicle or thinking about where to go to get that next new vehicle, I recommend Frontier Motors. You hear Dave Ramsey talk about them all the time. And the reason is simple, because they sell exactly the kind of cars that we both recommend, which is cars that are not brand new, cars that are a year or two or three old with low miles and great condition, because then you buy that car, you avoid the big hit on depreciation, but you get the best value because you're going to drive that car for 10 or 15 years, which I have done repeatedly. Like, I took my first Honda Accord to 330,000 miles, sold it running to my mechanic, who then fixed it up a little bit and gave it to somebody who needed a car. I think my Civic now is at 180, something like that, 190. I don't know exactly, but it's in that vicinity. We had a Grand Caravan. Was the car we replaced with the Odyssey that we bought at Frontier. And I don't remember the mileage on that one, but we'd had it for 15 years. You know, so I'm just telling you, that's the way we do cars, because that's how you maximize the value. So now if you want to just like buy a car and then trade it back in and maybe two or three, you can do that too. I'm just saying that this is the place where you go to find exactly the good condition, A-rated grade, you know, kind of cars that are in good shape, low miles, and are relatively new. And so you can be the second owner. Basically, is kind of how that works. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Tune in today at 10:30 to the Pensacola Expert Panel, where guests Haley Lotz and Tricia Sheridan from Pensacola State College's Continuing Education Program will be on the show talking about enrichment courses for the community, courses like tennis and kids' college, and so much more. That's all today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10:30 with Pensacola State College.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Do you have heart failure and often hear,
those stomach issues ruined your birthday?
You're too tired to play catch, Grandpa.
Sweetie, you haven't touched your tools since the carpal tunnel syndrome diagnosis.
If these seemingly unrelated symptoms sound familiar, talk to your cardiologist. Ask about transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy, or ATTR-CM. A rare and underdiagnosed disease that gets worse over time. Learn more at connecttoyourheart.com. That's connecttoyourheart.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
For the ones finding new ways to ensure the job always gets done. For the ones wearing many hats. For the ones who are hands-on, even from far away. And the ones keeping business moving forward. We are Grainger, offering professional-grade industrial supplies, plus real-time product availability and access to experts ready to answer your toughest questions. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
From county commissioner meetings to the Blues, Andrew covers it all on your morning drive on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, you're not permitted in there. It's restricted. You'll be deactivated for sure. Don't you call me a mindless philosopher, you overweight glob of grease. Now come on before somebody sees you.
And all you'd ever hear me say is how I picture me with you. That's all you'd ever hear me say. But since
Good morning, 525 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It is the day after the 3rd of May. It's May the 4th.
As in, may the...
Be with you.
There you go. That's exciting.
It is
Happy
exciting.
Happy Star Wars
it's
Day.
Fun. Happy Star Wars Day. You know the one thing that Star Wars Day is really missing, in my opinion? Okay? As much as I love and celebrate, of course, in practice.
Women fans?
Well, yeah.
Hello, lady.
No, it's... we don't have the right food and drink to go with it. Every good holiday, Cinco de Mayo, St. Patrick's Day, Thanksgiving, Easter, every good holiday's got appropriate food. Mm-hmm. What's your appropriate food and drink for Star Wars Day? Like reconstituted, freeze-dried, something they might have eaten in an X-Wing. You know, like, we need it can't happen because it was from a galaxy far, far away and their cookbooks didn't survive. So, like, you know, what are we going to do? But there it is. I'm just going to say it, you know. Although I did hear somebody's got some Tauntaun jerky that they're willing to make available to us if we want. David.
Wasn't that Empire?
David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines, David.
You want me to split somebody
tauntaun
open
jerky?
Like a Tauntaun?
You know.
Okay.
Whatever. They'll keep you warm.
So the suspect accused of carrying out that shooting in Atlanta yesterday is in custody. Authorities say Deion Patterson was arrested Wednesday after an hours-long manhunt. A judge has dismissed former President Donald Trump's lawsuit against the New York Times. Trump filed the $100 million lawsuit against three journalists and his estranged niece, who he claimed worked together to get confidential, highly sensitive records on him to use for their benefit. Yesterday, Justice Robert Reed dismissed the suit, ordered Trump to pay the journalists' legal fees. And a big story yesterday, the Federal Reserve raised interest rates again. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell announced yesterday that they're raising rates by a quarter of a percentage point and said that they are committed to bringing inflation down to 2%. Although they did have a post-meeting statement that said they are looking at pausing those increases next month.
All right. Well, we'll see. Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. Yeah, we might be finally getting to toward the end of the interest rate increases. So, I will say this. I heard Jerome Powell, one of the clips ahead of the top of the hour news was the, they feel the pain of the inflation that Americans are experiencing. Just you and me talking, okay, nobody else, but just you and me talking. It hasn't felt that bad in the last couple of months. Like, food prices have not been going up still, in my opinion. Gas prices, yes, unfortunately, we've seen gas prices. But, like, the things that, like, it was really, really, really bad for a year. And now the numbers, I think it's been tapering off a little bit, right? It's still not good. It's still going up, like, 6 or 7% last time I checked, if I remember correctly. But that visceral feeling of, like, I don't even know what the price of this is going to be next week. You know, that kind of I haven't had that feeling in a while. Candy, have you noticed that? Or do you notice things still keep going up?
I don't know. I just think everything is outrageously expensive.
Well, there's
the last
that.
Time you looked at clothes in Walmart.
I guess.
You know what I mean? Everything is just terribly pricey. Overly so. Candies, soda pops. I mean,
I guess my primary point of encounter is food because I do all the, you know, the food shopping.
All the food, I think, is expensive.
But, like, there as an example. The place where I always go to get, like, meat, for example, you know, I go to get chicken. Chicken had gone up to being, like, you know, $2.99, $3 a pound, and it's kind of come back down to, like, $2.69, which is way higher than it had been at $1.79, you know,
the
2 years
prior.
The meats
are a little cheaper
They've
than
come
they
down
were
a little, That's
recently.
What I'm saying. That curve
the
seems to be.
Eggs are a little better.
Oh, don't start me on the eggs.
I know, dude, but it's.
But that's yeah, not, a, that's not a Biden stupidity thing. The eggs are, you know, the. Chicken, the bird flu, then to kill all those birds, you know. So, anyway, I'm just saying, we often talk about the bad news. My own personal perception is it hasn't been hitting quite as hard lately as it had been for a long time. But also, that's
the
just
words
my
every
perception.
Starving person's just dying to hear. No, it hasn't been as bad. Where everything was just like 10%
it just
higher,
like
10%
it was
higher,
always
10
crazy.
Seemed,
yeah,
man, it still is. But yeah, I hear you.
529 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, they inducted into the, well, they're not inducted, but they've announced the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions, including big-time rocker Willie Nelson. Come on.
Dude, the Queen of Disco got in before Rush.
Kate Bush?
Well, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. She had a resurgence after Stranger Things because they used
Here's all I'm going to say. I'm just going to say this the one time.
Uh-huh.
Soundgarden didn't get in. Come on now. I mean, come on now. in the grand scheme of things. What do you have coming up, David?
An expansion to the parental rights and education law headed to the governor's desk. More after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Now in custody, a man accused of killing one woman, wounding four others in Atlanta.
Authorities say the suspected shooter became belligerent while waiting for an appointment at Northside Hospital when he pulled out a handgun, spraying the 11th floor waiting room with bullets. An undercover officer eventually found Patterson hiding in a gated condo complex just outside Atlanta and, with the help of uniformed officers, took him into custody without incident.
Fox's Brooks Singen. There are more Russian airstrikes in Ukraine. Fox's Jonathan Savage.
The capital, Kyiv, Zaporizhia, and Odessa were among the targets the day after attacks in the southern Kherson region killed 23, including customers at a supermarket. Russia has warned of retaliation after accusing Ukraine of attempting to assassinate Vladimir Putin.
Ukraine's government denies having anything to do with any drone attacks. Explosions reported over the Kremlin yesterday morning. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531. It's News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. 60 degrees right now. Partly cloudy skies here in Pensacola. Well, after about an hour and a half of deliberations yesterday, an Escambia County jury found a man guilty of killing his grandmother's boyfriend back in 2020. This is according to the News Journal. 22-year-old Donatica Pearson was found guilty of premeditated murder and the death of Erskine Ware. Pearson was not in the courtroom. Instead, he was watching from another room on Zoom. This was after a series of outbursts on Monday during jury selection. Governor Ron DeSantis now expected to sign a bill that expands Florida's controversial parental rights and education law. Under the original law that was passed last year, classroom instruction on sexual orientation or gender identity was banned from kindergarten through third grade.
I get that there are parents everywhere that maybe we can stand up here and say they're not doing their jobs, but we can do ours and we can model good behavior and we can have an expectation of what is appropriate in a public school.
And now the bill will be expanded to include pre-K through eighth grade. It also restricts how teachers and students can use preferred pronouns in school. Pensacola police say in just the last 30 days, 12 different cars have been stolen from in front of homes on the city's southeast side.
The common denominator in all of these cases is that someone left their keys in their car and the car unlocked.
PPD spokesman Mike Wood there, he says they've been able to recover a few of those cars, but not all of them. He says one major concern when it comes to those types of cases is that the stolen cars can turn up in more serious crimes and could be damaged if there's a police chase. Escambia County is going to have to cough up $25,000 in legal fees for former County Commissioner Doug Underhill. News Radio's Joe Ford has more.
According to the PNJ, that decision came down yesterday from the First District Court of Appeal. Back in 2019, Underhill was sued for defamation by Scott Miller, the former director of operations at the Rolling Hills Landfill. The suit, which Underhill won, stemmed from comments that Underhill made on the public Facebook group Escambia Citizens Watch. After winning the suit, Underhill sought to be reimbursed for the legal fees, which the county argued they weren't responsible for. However, a circuit judge ordered the county to pay over $24,600, saying Underhill's comments were made in his official capacity as commissioner. Joe Ford, News Radio 92.3.
Two families in Santa Rosa County are going to be waking up this morning in new homes, thanks to volunteers with the Pensacola Habitat for Humanity.
Housing is a basic human right, and too many people are being left behind. And as the economy expands and interest rates are increasing and home affordability is becoming that much further out of reach, families are getting left behind, and we are there to try and fill that gap.
That's Sam Young with Habitat Pensacola. He says their organization is expected to build 50 homes this year, repair yet another 50 for homeowners in need. The two new homes are on North Trail Ride Lane in Milton. It is 535 News Radio 92.3. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Bands on a Beach and the Blue Angel Air Show are just a few of the fun things that Pensacola Beach has to offer. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 as Robbie Schrock from the Santa Rosa Island Authority brings you up to date on all the happenings on Pensacola Beach. Get all the info you need for a fun and safe summer on Pensacola Beach. That's today at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This is Tort Talk with personal injury lawyer Terrence A. Gross.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. Did you know that Floridians can stack uninsured motorist coverage? If you have three vehicles with $25,000 stacking UM, that equates to $75,000 in total coverage. Therefore, always choose stacking coverage if you have more than one vehicle in your household.
Tort Talk is brought to you by Terrence A. Gross. Call 434-3333 or check him out at grossandschuster.com.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, News Radio Team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 537, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. On Wednesday yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Mayor D.C. Reeves of Pensacola, and this was, of course, the day after we had the big skate park grand opening on Tuesday. We've had a lot of grand openings and big news this week. The skate park, the news about NAS Pensacola, the Pea Ridge Connector, so all kinds of fun times. Mayor Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you so much. Did you survive? Did you break any bones, anything?
I came away with an Achilles tendon injury that was caused by somebody else who lost control of their skateboard and it ran into my foot. I did not injure myself, thankfully.
And that's all. It was definitely them. It was definitely them. I get it. Yeah, I understand.
That's right. And it was it was great. I know this. One of the things that I heard people asking, and I know you kind of talked with me a little bit about it yesterday, was things like, okay, bikes are not supposed to be there. There were a couple of bicyclists. Are people gonna? Are we trying to enforce the helmet rule? That kind of stuff. Which, I mean, there was 5% of the people there were wearing helmets, maybe something like that. Can you just maybe speak a little bit to rules and rule enforcement? Because that was one of the pre-announcements, was the set of rules for the skate park.
Right, and of course, that's also why I've been asking the favor of our media partners this last couple of weeks to say, hey, please get these rules out. But look, I mean, I can certainly speak to my business life. You start with something and there's rules and you learn too, in terms of how you enforce it, what is enforceable. And of course, you have to understand a lot of the rules that you're speaking of. These are not preferential things to the mayor. These are liability issues, And so we've got to, certainly cover ourselves as a city of saying, this is how we instruct that this is properly used. And that's just an obligation of ours. So, I think we're going to learn. I mean, look, I talked with our police department about how we want to enforce graffiti there, and my answer is, we're going to really, really enforce it, and then we're going to learn what's happening. Right now, it's brand new, and so I think this is. It's not because we're wanting to push it off. I think these are the types of things that we're going to live and learn a little bit. We're going to say, hey, what needs to be a zero tolerance, non-negotiable, and what maybe is something that we have to adjust. So, I think we're going to let it play out here for a little bit. The rules are the rules. I'm not saying break them. I'm just saying, we'll do a check-in and see how things are going and how we need to enforce moving forward.
Yeah, and, you know, you always have to keep in mind, you know, what is the purpose of the space? The purpose of the space is to be where skaters come. And, you know, if you make it the kind of place that they don't want to come to, well, guess what? They won't. You know, and we don't want that to happen. We don't want – and that's – part of that is having the right rules, and part of that is knowing which rules we can maybe, you know, not be so emphatic about. So I appreciate that attitude. I wanted to ask you, you made an announcement yesterday in your press conference about the welcome sign, sort of the – you'd already had a meeting with some people. You're into the middle phases of selection here. Is there anything more you can tell us either about what's been proposed or when we might be able to see maybe what the finalists are or anything like that?
Yeah, so I know our committee met. I was not part of that selection committee, but the one that we had you know, determined, Sidney Robinson at the city, is kind of headed this up. And of course, is Dalrymple Salus has been involved, as they have been since before this idea, in terms of what would go there next. And so I know that they had narrowed it down internally to, I believe, three. But understand, and I always qualify this, we didn't obligate ourselves or promise that we're going to do a contest because we didn't know what we were going to get. I mean, sure. What if only one of them would be under budget, you know? And so we didn't want to, you know, overextend the city's obligation to the citizen or overpromise that we would say, here are your top five, everybody vote. And we still don't necessarily say that because the next phase is we kind of have to sit down with the artist and say, okay, tell us about these materials. Wait, this might be 6 inches too big. You know, there. And so we knew coming into this that this is going to be a little complicated and it's complex. This is a six-figure installment here, you know, between everything, engineering, and the restaurant's got to give us an easement to be able to access the property. There's a lot of moving parts with FDOT as well. So we knew that. We signed up for that and knowing that that was the complication because we thought that at the end game, the finished product is going to be much more a reflection of our city than just putting the word Pensacola on a sign, you know. And so, you know, it's a little bit of the growing pains we're taking on, the adjustment. So I would tell you, I know that it still remains internal at this point, that we have narrowed it down. But I think the next step is we're going to meet with those finalists and learn more than we know in just the simple application.
And also, I think any reasonable person looking at this design application process for that welcome sign would recognize that this is different than naming a street sweeper, right? That it's perfectly understandable to put naming a street sweeper into a popularity contest. And then, you know, that's very different from giving, like, here are the four designs, you vote on it, because, you know, somebody's going to have to take ownership and responsibility for that end result. And it might lend itself to a, you know, popularity contest. It might not. And so, you know, even somebody who likes that kind of stuff, I appreciate that answer. Speaking of, when are we looking for final results on the, I think it's closing today, right? Is the street sweeper naming contest?
It is. It is closing today. I do have all of our, you know, joke with Jamie Brierton at PPD, who you know, puts the striping on all the PPD cars. They are at the ready to get those cars, you know, to have our names put on the street sweepers, whatever those are. And I truly don't, at this moment, I haven't even gotten a pulse check of what the top three are or four are to this point. So it'll be a surprise for me as well. But yeah, that ends. We're over 6,000 votes, which is awesome. And again, exactly why we do this kind of stuff, just to, you know, engage. I mean, who knew we had three new street sweepers until about a month ago or 2 months ago. So, you know, I still maintain Dirt Reynolds, is my top favorite. And, but we'll see what happens. You know, I really don't know. I mean, there's about, I would say probably six of those 12 names. I think everything's on the table.
Any of those
any
six,
three
yeah.
of about maybe six of those names I'm seeing everywhere. So
I will say this. I was super confident about this process until you told me that Brierton's overseeing. I'm not sure now. He's such a good friend. He'll laugh
exactly.
at that.
No, I understand your concern, but you know
he's dying.
The Bull Angel car looks pretty good. The new car looks pretty
good.
Oh
no, he's the best. Jamie's the best. Several things that all kind of hang together in my mind that I know you're working on all of them sort of simultaneously because they're all sort of in the same vicinity. We found out last week, of course, and you said you got the report yesterday, the final report that the Malcolm Young Gym is, I mean, it's uninhabitable. You can't. That's why we're having to find alternative accommodations for the school. You were talking yesterday about the Hawkshaw Memorial for Lost Kids, that the underneath that is like, you don't see it from up above, but down underneath it is a hot mess. And, you know, we learned that when we were doing beach cleanup stuff with Ocean Hour. And then sort of ongoing questions about, you know, parks and facilities and maintenance costs. And you are planning to, or you're starting to put together, like, generally speaking, an assessment of everything we've got and what it costs and what condition it's in, because that's how you run a business, right?
Absolutely. Look, I always say 80% of failure is ambiguity. Who's in charge of you know, which person in the building is the point person for this park, for this monument? And I think that's what we've got to clean up, is to kind of say, hey, there's full clarity on who is in charge of this item. Doesn't mean they got to do it. Doesn't mean that we aren't going to bring a contractor in, as we are, to help clean up under Hawkshaw. Doesn't mean you got to do it yourself, but we just have to understand who's on first. You know, we have to know that. And I think that's really going to happen in two forms. One is really just overall, both from, and this is a Public Works and a Parks and Rec thing, is to say, let's have clear identification where everybody in the city knows, you know, who the point person for this particular monument slash park is. But, you know, I think a second phase to this is, and I mentioned this in the press conferences, look, we all like to name things. And there's a lot. I mean, if you look at our agenda, we've got about four different things coming on that are, you know, people naming a tree, a bench, a park. And all, that's all well and good. But I feel irresponsible to the taxpayer moving forward to say that we are going to take on maintenance in perpetuity of some of these things. And I just think that that's not fair. I mean, to the taxpayer. It's okay. I'm not saying we will never do it. All I'm saying is, when you say we're going to take care of this memorial for the rest of time, there's an expense that goes with that. And yeah. I just think that maybe the missing link here over the years is to say, well, there's a financial impact to that. I mean, there's a negative financial impact. And are we calculating that as we start to build our budget? And I think that's maybe that ambiguity as well, I think, is maybe what's gotten away from us, and that we're going to get in order here in the next couple months.
Well, look, you know, in terms of, like, you know, I credit to Robert Kiyosaki. He's the guy that I learned it from. But the basic idea that, you know, when you acquire something, just because it's paid off doesn't mean it's not a liability, right? If it's ongoing cash flow negative to you to spend money to maintain a thing, that's a liability. If it's ongoing cash generating, you know, well, that's an asset. And it seems to me like across the board in government, we don't do enough pre-analysis to, like, every item that comes before city council, county commission, state, whatever, it ought to say, this is the purchase price tag and this is the maintenance price tag. And that should be an essential part of it, because you're exactly, ribbon cuttings are great, but ribbon cuttings cost money every month after you cut the ribbon. And so I appreciate, as a, you know, I'm not a resident of the city, but I still care, of course, about the city. I appreciate that you're trying to look at things that way, because I'm convinced that is the right way to be looking at them. So I appreciate that. The lightning round, we always like to end with sort of some quick questions. Do you have a defunct store that you miss the most?
Ooh, well, I mean, you know, if I'm on here, you said a defunct store, it's got to be Blockbuster, right?
Of course. See, that's the layup. That's the easy one, right? Be kind.
I know. There's one left. There's one store left, right? So I don't know if that counts. But, yeah, I mean, I'm on here with Blockbuster Brethren. I've got to.
That's right. Email pet peeve for Mayor D.C. Reeves, a thing that people do in their emails that drives you, that bugs you a little bit.
I don't know. I guess maybe this is very new for now, is, you know, handing me too many loose ends in an email. But things that I've got to do, you know, four or five things. You know, that there is or not providing a solution, just a problem.
I gotcha. And you want to externalize those. That's why you have department heads. And then the last one is, yesterday was Teacher Appreciation Day. Tell me who was your, like, jumps to mind immediately when you think, this was the teacher that I remember that I appreciate the most.
Ooh, man. I got a lot of those. I'll say, I just saw her the other day, Miss Ferbazar, my algebra teacher at Catholic High School. You know, once I had made a D or an F in algebra, you know, got my you-know-what in gear, and I had decent grades for the rest of my academic career ever since that moment. So I was that was my low point of just playing basketball and not doing homework like we've talked about before.
Outstanding.
Yeah, I got to give her credit for that.
I love a teacher who brings a kid in to turn around. D.C. Reeves, he is the mayor of Pensacola, as always, sir. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you again next week, and always good to talk with you.
All right, awesome. Thanks, guys.
You bet. 549, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Hey, if you're thinking about that lawn and you love your lawn in the summer, like you're so proud of it, great. Congratulations. You know, that's good for you. Really good for you. If, on the other hand, you're like a lot of folks and you're like, oh, I don't want to think about that. Don't look at my lawn. I hope the HOA doesn't penalize me. Hey, listen, that's why you call NSEC now, because you want the green lawn in July. You call NSEC in May, right? That's the idea, because it's not something you fix at the spot. It's a thing that you fix in advance. So what will happen is they'll come out. They'll look at what your lawn needs. They'll create 8 annual applications, timed, programmed, and targeted to get your lawn what it needs and when it needs it. And, of course, the analysis is free to figure out, you know, what would the cost be and what do they need to do. Initial soil samples indicate amendments that are needed and create a plan for your lawn success. And then it's all the details. And they will figure out all the details. And if you sign up today, you get your first lawn application free with any new annual lawn program that includes the initial soil sample, lime treatment on an average size yard. So, and they're a great way to get your lawn looking good, and they are hiring. So if you've ever thought you might want to work either in, you know, lawn or in pest control, Pensacola, Mobile, Baldwin County, Panama City, great pay, good benefits, 401k, advancement, health insurance, all that stuff, apply at workwithnsec, that's E-N-S-E-C, workwithnsec, E-N-S-E-C.com.
The City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation offers many ways to help you get out and play. Take a stroll in one of their 93 parks. Rent a kayak or a paddle boat at the brand new Bayview Outdoor Pursuit Center. Or participate in one of the many exciting programs happening at Play Pensacola's 11 resource centers. Tennis courts, pools, dance, camps, community events, and more. The only thing missing is you. For more, visit playpensacola.com or follow social media at @PColaParks. It's time to get out and play.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Are you curious about marijuana? Florida A&M University established the Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, also known as MARI, to educate the public about medical marijuana use, as well as the detrimental health and social impacts of unlawful marijuana use on local communities. Find out more at mmeri.famu.edu.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
The Dave Ramsey Show. Afternoons at 1. After Brian Kilmeade on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
The smoke could be seen for miles in blanketed parts of Interstate 10. The Florida Highway Patrol is urging drivers to be cautious in the area.
This stretch of Santa Rosa County really is a fire-dependent ecosystem, and so it is prone to wildfires. We have had several over my 13-year career in this area, so it's not uncommon.
The last update of the evening has the fire at 215 acres. They say it is now 60% contained and is not threatening any structures at the moment.
Yeah, if you saw the smoke yesterday or the glow overnight near Avalon Boulevard, south of I-10, then you know, big fire. But as you heard there, Joe Zuchowski with the Forestry Service saying, you know, we've been working on it all night. And this is, listen, I know it's very easy based on the fires we've had in the last couple of years to you know, feel like, oh, no, not again. Well, this is not like that at all. And, you know, we are a fire-prone area. Fire is actually part of the ecosystem. And, you know, using it, controlling it, understanding how it works. And, you know, they do controlled burns for a reason, right?
Our tractor plow operators, our wildland firefighters are working to put line around this fire. And this is exactly what we're looking at through here. That tractor just came through here, tied into the hard road. If that fire was to come through these trees, it will have nowhere to go to the south. We've got good pavement here to the east side of it. And we've got five more tractors out there in that marsh swamp area that are working on other containment lines to surround this fire.
Which is exactly the kind of news that you want. And so this is, you know, it can be a little unsettling if you've not seen something like this before. But it looks for all the world at this point like it's a, you know, okay, fine. You know, not that big of a deal. But I'm sure if you live on San Jose, you're like, as I recall, I was going to go look it up on Google Street View here, but I don't think there's actually any real structures like right on San Jose. I remember that being forest on both sides. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. That's what I remember because from biking it, that for the most part, it's just all forest. And then there's some streets off to the south. And when you get a little bit farther west, there's some houses, but a lot of that area is, it's just forest area for the most part. Again, off to the south, yes, but right on that line, not so much. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
And good morning. Here, let me pull this up. Sorry, I was woefully unprepared. A judge dismissing former President Trump's lawsuit against the New York Times yesterday. Trump filed a $100 million lawsuit against three journalists and his estranged niece. He claimed the three were working together to get confidential, highly sensitive records on him for their benefit. That lawsuit dismissed, and the judge ordering Trump to pay the journalists' legal fees. Apple's high-yield savings account attracted just shy of $1 billion in deposits, and that's only in the first 4 days of its launch. According to a Forbes report, Apple launched a high-yield savings account last month as more consumers were seeking to take advantage of the high interest rate environment. And Michelle Obama is apparently launching a healthy food and beverage company. She says she wants to offer parents healthier, great-tasting products for their kids. The former First Lady made that announcement yesterday at the Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything Festival in New York City. The company Obama's launching is called, hopefully I say this one right.
It is an odd name.
Pleasy Nutrition, or is it Pleasy?
I don't know. It's capital P-L-E-Z, little I.
Yeah, it's
like an
eye
product in reverse. The eye is at the end instead of at the beginning. She could have just called it like iFood, you know?
That might, well, yeah, that would have made entirely too much sense.
No. So, yeah, let's go with Plezi. Okay.
And apparently it's a fruit juice that contains 75% less sugar. Does that mean 75% less taste?
Well, you're selling it now.
Yes.
So the first thing they're releasing, like you said, is these low-sugar, nutrient-dense kids' drinks. And every kid's like, give me some of that! Give me low sugar, more nutrition, I'm in. And, okay, so a four-pack of 8 ounce. 8 ounce is, what, two-thirds the size of a Coke can? Okay, so it's small. It's like the mini cans.
Yeah, those are like little tiny cups.
Yeah, it's like the mini cans, okay? It's a cup. You ever felt to yourself like, what I really need right now is a cup of liquid refreshment? So it's a cup, okay? And a four-pack of one-cup cans will cost you a reasonable food desert price of $4.
Ooh.
$1 a can. Here you go, kids. Drink. It just seems so
nutrition is costly these
That's
days.
That's exactly right. But, you know, and she, I love the
When's
article.
When's the last time you bought a 12-ounce can of anything? It's more than a dollar.
No, it is not.
I promise you it is.
For a Coke?
Yes.
A Coke is, okay, so like a case
if
is...
If you buy one by yourself, you're going into Walmart, you're checking out groceries, and you're buying one
Come on,
can
a
of
case
Coke.
Of 24 is not 24 bucks. A case of 24 is
of course.
$6
right.
to
if you're,
$8.
If you're buying a case, yeah, right? But if you're buying a single soda pop, sorry, don't burn a cross in my yard, I said soda pop. But they're $1. Or if you go to
But you don't buy it
Dollar Tree.
That way.
Yeah, I'm not saying you guys buy it that way, I'm saying.
Anyway.
$4.
I've seen the single bottles, but a single can where?
You're spending $1 for a Eight
I
for
don't
a cup
spend
of Coke?
It because, as we know, I buy 2 liters.
All right, that's the way. All right.
I wouldn't drink fruit juice.
The article I was reading about this says, there are plenty of skeptics who will question the benefit of marketing kids' beverages. And Mrs. Obama, as well as her partners and advisors, are well aware of this criticism. While we know that water or milk is always the best option, we'll continue to recommend the first, kids who are used to drinking soda 100% fruit juice daily are not going to easily make that switch, but eventually maybe we can get them to do it. So, okay. We'll see. Let's put it that way. We'll see. David, thanks so much for the update. 559 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, apparently snarky, and which happens once in a while. Dollar a can!